We will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order September 13th, 9:30 a.m. My name is Chairman Chris Nelson. I have Commissioner Hansen with me in the hearing room, and Commissioner Feagin is with us on the phone line. Is there a motion regarding approval of the minutes from August 30th?
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the August 30th minutes from our commission meeting.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Consumer Reports, Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson.
Are we on Leah Sanders music?
Just hang. Okay, we're good. Go ahead, Deb.
All right. Thank you. The commission received a total of 60 contacts since the last report was prepared for the August 30, 2016 commission meeting. 8 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 21 of the contacts involved electric service, 2 contacts related to natural gas service, 4 contacts related to wireless service, 4 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 7 contacts related to the Dakota Access Pipeline, 1 contact was related to the Keystone XL Pipeline, 1 contact was related to One Call, 1 contact was related to the Grain Warehouse, and 11 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. We still have 2 open complaints in 2014, and 1,007 of the 1,033 complaints received in 2016 have been resolved.
Thank you. Any questions for Deb? If not, thank you. Till later. We will take our agenda in order today and begin with EL 16-022 in the matter of the application by Prevailing Winds LLC for a wind energy facility permit for the Prevailing Winds Wind Energy Facility. The motion before us is a motion to withdraw the application without prejudice. And with that, I will turn to Mr. Magnuson.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. Prevailing Winds LLC has filed its motion to withdraw application without prejudice. I believe that everything is right there in the motion, and so I am available to answer any questions.
Thank you. And the only other party at this point is staff, and so I'll see if staff wants to weigh in.
Commissioners, this is Amanda Reese with staff. Staff has no objection to the withdrawal.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion? I will move in EL 16-022 that we grant the motion to withdraw the application without prejudice. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. EL 16-029, in the matter of the filing by Mid-America Energy Company for approval of tariff revisions to update its communities served. And we will go to Ms. Hansen.
Good morning, Chairman. Yes, I'm here along with Renee White, who is a rates analyst. We have, on August 19th, filed our updated communities list in which we wish to ensure the most possible, accurate, and up-to-date coverage of our community served within South Dakota. Any questions regarding our filing?
Thank you. We'll go to staff.
Thank you. This is Brittany Malhoff for staff, and staff recommends approval. Thank you.
Questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 16-029, I move that the Commission approve the tariff revisions with an effective date of September 19, 2016.
Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to EL 16-030 in the matter of the petition of Otter Tail Power Company for approval of environmental cost recovery rider charge, and the question being, shall the commission assess a filing fee for actual expenses related to the environmental cost recovery rider not to exceed $50,000? And I will go to staff first.
Commissioner, this is Amanda Reese for staff. SDCL 49188 authorizes the commission to require a deposit up to $50,000. Staff requests the commission require this fee. Thanks.
Thank you. Otter Tail.
Chairman, Pete Biathon from Otter Tail. We're in agreement with the recommendation of staff.
Thank you. Questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 16-030, move that the commission assess a filing fee for actual expenses related to the environmental cost recovery rider not to exceed $50,000.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. EL 16-031, in the matter of the petition of Northern States Power Company doing business as Xcel Energy for approval of its 2017 transmission cost recovery eligibility and rate adjustment. And the question here, shall the commission assess a filing fee in the amount of up to $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in review of this filing commencing from filing date? Staff.
Thank you, Chairman. As in the last filing, staff requests a statutory filing fee to account for actual expenses up to $50,000.
Thank you. Xcel, Mr. Wilcox.
Mr. Chairman, the company accepts the application of a filing fee. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions or motions? I will move in EL 16-031. That the commission assess a filing fee in the amount of up to $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in review of this filing commencing from the filing date. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to our natural gas dockets in the matter of the NG 16-008, in the matter of the filing by Mid-America Energy Company for approval of tariff revisions to update its communities served. Mid-American.
Once again, this is Valerie Hansen. This is another attempt to make sure that we are providing the most accurate and up-to-date information in our coverage territory within South Dakota.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. This is Brittany Malhofer, staff, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Questions or motions?
Mr. Chairman, for Mid-American, I'm assuming the three towns that you deleted are because of they're unincorporated?
That would be correct. This is Renee White from Mid-American. They are not incorporated, and for McCook, we changed it from McCook Lake to McCook County because that's a more accurate description.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, in NG 16-008, move that the commission approve the tariff revisions with an effective date of September 19th, 2016.
Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. NG 16-009, in the matter of the filing by Northwestern Corporation doing business as Northwestern Energy for approval of its gas transportation tariff revisions regarding fuel retention percentage. And we will go to Mr. Decker.
Good morning. This is Jeff Decker with Northwestern Energy. This is our annual fuel retention filing. We update this every year. And this the factors that we're proposing this year are within the range of historical factors. And we just ask for approval. We're available for questions.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson and staff. This is Northwestern's annual filing to comply with the fuel retention provisions of Section Number 5 of their gas tariff. Staff has reviewed the calculations and would recommend approval effective October 1, 2016. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, in NG 16-009, I move that the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of October 1, 2016.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us, thank you, Jeff. That brings us to our telecom dockets in the matter of the request for certification regarding the use of Federal Universal Service Support in dockets TC 16-22, 23, 31, 32, 38, 39, and 42. My intention would be to hear all of these together, and if any commissioner wants to pull one out, we can sure do that. With that, we are going to go to TC 16-22 in the matter of the request by Valley Telephone Company, study area 361-495 for certification. Valley, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Nelson. Valley Telephone Company is requesting the commission to issue a certification to the FCC and USAC indicating it is in compliance with 47 U.S.C. Section 254E.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and Valley Telephone Company has responded to our data requests. Staff recommends that the commission issue a certification to USAC and the FCC.
Thank you. And Ms. Gregg.
We've had no consumer contacts.
Questions from the commission? Hearing none, we will move to 16-023 in the matter of the request of Red River Rural Telephone Association doing business as Red River Communications, study area 381-631. Go ahead. I should ask, is Ms. Thiel on the line?
Yes, I am, Commissioner.
Go ahead.
Our company has submitted the necessary filing for the ETC certification regarding our use of federal universal support funds, and we ask for the commission's approval.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and Red River Rural Telephone Association, doing business as Red River Communications, has responded to our data requests. Staff recommends that the commission issue a certification to USAC and the FCC.
Thank you. And Deb?
We've had no consumer contacts.
Thank you. Questions?
Mr. Chairman, one quick question.
Yes.
For Red River. In your application cover letter, it says you have no access lines in South Dakota, and then in the application it says approximately one. Do you have an access line in South Dakota or no customers?
We do have one customer in South Dakota. We serve a very small portion, but we do have one active customer.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? If not, we will move to TC 16-031 in the matter of the request of Jefferson Telephone Company, study area 391-666. And we'll go to Mr. Bergman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Jefferson is requesting a certificate of federal USF support and certification to the FCC and USAC.
Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and Jefferson Telephone Company has responded to our data requests. Staff recommends that the commission issue a certification to USAC and the FCC.
Thank you. Deb.
We've had no consumer contacts.
Questions? Hearing none, we will move to TC 16-032 in the matter of the request of the City of Faith Municipal Telephone Company, study area 391-653. We have folks on the line, but we also have someone at the podium.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. Margo Northrup on behalf of the City of Faith. Also have Marlene Bennett on the phone. She's a consultant at Consortia for Faith. We are just asking for the proper certifications to FCC and USAC this morning.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Razek with staff. Staff would recommend the commission issue a certification to the FCC and USAC. Thank you.
Ms. Gregg.
And we've had no consumer contacts.
Questions? Hearing none, we will go to...
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yes, I do have a question. I thought you, somebody else might ask it. When I was looking at the filing, especially the data request, the pricing of the standalone broadband versus having a landline is quite significant. With the FCC now allowing standalone to be supported, do you think the pricing structure will change at Faith? And I'm going to go on mute.
This is Marlene Bennett on behalf of Faith, and at this time I do not foresee that the pricing would change due to the new regulations, but we are still trying to review those and understand if there would be additional support that Faith may receive. But at this time not looking like there is, and so we would not look to change that pricing.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Additional questions? Hearing none, we will move to TC 16-038 in the matter of the request of RT Communications, Inc., study area 512251 for certification. We have RT on the line, and Ms. Northrup, are you with them also?
I am, yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Margo Northrup on behalf of RT Communications. We also have Jason Hendricks on the phone. We are asking for the proper certification to FCC and USAC this morning.
Staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and RT Communications, Inc. has responded to our data requests. Staff recommends that the Commission issue a certification to USAC and the FCC.
And Ms. Gregg?
We've had no consumer contacts.
Questions from the Commission? Hearing none, we will move to TC 16-039 in the matter of the request of Quest Corporation doing business as Centurylink QC, study area 395-145 for certification. This is one that we heard 2 weeks ago. We had some additional questions. A confidential filing has been made by the company. Mr. Harper, Mr. Johnson, do you want to add anything before we go into questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Wayne Johnson with CenturyLink. I have on the line here Mark Harper. He's the Director of Regulatory Operations for CenturyLink, and also Ken Buchan, who's the Manager of Regulatory Finance, in case you have any additional questions. CenturyLink is asking that this request for certification regarding the use of federal universal service support be approved by the Commission today.
Thank you. Staff, anything that you want to add before we go into questions? Nothing from staff. Questions from the Commission?
I have some when you're ready, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I have to be careful because I know some of this is filed confidential, but CAF, help me understand CAF 2 funds. It's my understanding that those funds are for lack of access for fixed broadband, I'm assuming like 10 to 1. Is that correct?
I'm going to let Mark Harper answer this, Commissioner Feagin.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Commissioner, this is Mark Harper. The primary purpose of the CAF 2 funds were for the enablement of a given number of locations identified by the FCC models to provide fixed broadband service of at least 10-1. I would note, though, in addition, CenturyLink and other carriers in their situation retain ETC obligations, voice obligations throughout the CAF 2 area as well as the extremely high-cost areas. So the funding we receive is not only for that purpose of enabling but also for maintaining what's already there as well as the voice service out in the extremely high-cost areas.
Okay. When I look at your confidential filing on the areas that you're working on or have completed, are all those areas, they do not have access to fixed broadband of 10 to 1? And so we're not overbuilding anything, correct?
No. By definition, an area that's eligible for CAF 2 support, the FCC determined there was no other fixed broadband provider providing at least, in this case, for the initial round, 4-1 or greater.
Okay. Because it just looked like there might have been some of the areas that you had on your list, there could have been maybe some fixed broadband, but I didn't know. You know, it's hard to tell when you just give numbers and a name of a town.
No, it's a very fair question. You know, some of the cities listed are larger cities, but our exchanges are quite expansive when you think of the area around even a Pierre. So when you get out to the far edges, there are no other providers out there, and there are high cost areas out on the edge of some of these exchanges that may look to you as to be, you know, maybe a little more populous.
Okay, thank you. That was my question, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions, whoever wants to take these. And most of these are going to be based off of the confidential filing. I guess if I stray into something that I shouldn't, just stop me immediately, but I think we can do this without going into a confidential session. My first question is, you know, on this filing, you've given us the number of, you know, locations enabled, and frankly, this was a very helpful filing to me. I appreciate it greatly. My question is, at the end of 2016, when this construction year is done, will we be able to get from you a list of the actual census blocks that you've completed?
Yes, yes, Chairman. By March 1st, we're obligated to provide to you, well, to the FCC, to USAC, and as well as the state commissions, the locations that we've enabled, and when we do that, it will have the census block identified. And, you know, it's not required in that filing, but for purposes of communication with state commissions, we'll make an effort to further sort of line those up with things you're familiar with, like exchange names.
That would be great, and frankly, if you could go one step further and actually give us a map of those census blocks, that'd be great too. But if you can't, I will take the census numbers and create my own map. So that's helpful.
Yeah. I mean, we'll work towards having, probably not as part of the initial filing, but having maps available soon thereafter, because we want you to be able to know, and we want everyone to know what's being done and how the progress is being made.
Absolutely. The second question, in the confidential filing where you give the number of locations enabled, is it correct that these are only in the covered census blocks? And the genesis of that question is, I know CenturyLink has frequently said, you know, we're going to build out to our required census blocks, but we're also going to build to a number of other people in uncovered census blocks at the same time. And so are the numbers we're seeing here just in the covered blocks?
Yes. These will just be locations that are within the eligible census blocks that received. In that first column, there's a subset of those where people that already had 10-1 from us in an eligible census block. And under the FCC rules, we had to report those by the end of 2015, and we included that in the Form 481 filing. The rest of those in that column are ones that we have since done work to enable, and then we move into the in-progress ones, and those will be added. But yes, to answer your question, these are just the ones that are specifically within the eligible census blocks that will count towards meeting our goals.
Thank you. I'm going to only ask about one particular community, and that's the community of Huron. And the reason I ask about that is I've just gotten a whole lot of questions from consumers that are in rural Huron about, is there any hope of us getting broadband? And without, again, mentioning what's in your confidential filing, would there be any way for CenturyLink to communicate to us as commissioners what part of rural Huron is on the near horizon that you'd be comfortable with us having so that we can visit with our constituents?
Chairman, we can work to provide based on the identified, areas that we plan on getting to, and in this case, next year, we can identify what those areas are.
That would be great. And not to mean that I don't get questions about these other areas, but it just seems that Huron has kind of been an epicenter for questions. And so the fact that you have now mentioned 2017 as being a build-out target, I will reemphasize that, and that's very, very good news for those folks.
Yeah.
For the areas, and maybe this is a premature question, but for the areas that you've already enabled, what kind of take rates are you getting?
I would love to answer that question. I don't have that data yet.
Okay, and that's understandable. The last question deals with your request for the confidential data filing to be returned to you when this docket is closed. That's an unusual request. Typically, we simply maintain the confidentiality of this stuff in perpetuity. Can you expand on why you feel it needs to actually be physically returned to you?
Mr. Chairman, this is Wayne Johnson. I'll go ahead and address that. I think that was a cut-and-paste error. That is some old language. that's no longer it's no longer valid. We would request that you disregard that language, and I'll see to it that that is removed from any further confidentiality requests sent to the state of South Dakota.
Perfect. So we can simply handle this confidentially as we do normal course of business.
That's correct, sir.
Thank you. I have no further questions, and again, greatly appreciate your pulling this particular document together for us.
Mr. Chairman, I
go ahead.
Have one more question. As a commission, we are certainly excited about your build-out in rural South Dakota. So my question is on this confidential information on the communities you're in. Why is that confidential, and why would we not be telling communities that they're building in your area?
You know, that again is another great question. We have treated the information where we have not completed the builds yet as confidential, because even though there was not existing competition in those areas, there are competitors in and around different places, and we'd rather not, you know, sort of signal far in advance where we're going and timing-wise. But that's the main thing. The other piece of it is not necessarily related to confidentiality, but yet I think you can understand as you begin to talk about a given year, this is a six-year build plan, and it's a whole lot of work and a very costly project. So there'll be people in year six, and there'll be people in year one and year two. And to prevent sort of the idea of why am I in year six and this guy's in year two, that's the other part of it. We want to try, and we worked hard in these communities they turn up to, when the time comes to turn up, there are literature drops, there's customer mailings, and if there's a pretty good group of locations, there'll even be local events to try to publicize that we're here now, you have new and faster broadband. And that's the way we tried to focus our effort, is when it's ready to turn up, hit the ground, let everybody know it's there, and try to make sure people take advantage of it.
So do I assume when you're completely done with your project, that will be public information?
Oh, yes. The information we were talking about filing in March will have to be filed publicly.
Okay, thank you.
And Commissioner Feagin, I appreciate that question. I appreciate the response. And you know, understanding what the build-out schedule requirements are for receiving the CAF II money, if, in fact, you meet your 2016 target, that's really pretty good progress for the first year.
Yes, sir.
Additional questions? If not, I appreciate you folks being online. I appreciate those questions. And we already dealt with the consumer reports or consumer complaints part of this last week. And so we will go to TC16-042 in the matter of the request of Red River Cooperative Telephone Company, study area 391-689, West River.
Yes, Chairman, this is Colgan Huber from West River. We're requesting certification to FCC and USAC for Federal Universal Service Support.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and West River Cooperative Telephone Company has responded to our data requests. Staff recommends that the Commission issue a certification to USAC and the FCC.
Thank you. Ms. Gregg.
We've had no consumer contacts.
Thank you. Questions? Hearing no questions, is there a motion? I will move in TC16-022, 23, 31, 32, 38, 39, and 42, that the Commission provide a certification to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the use of Federal Universal Service Support for each of those dockets. Discussion on the motion. Just a general comment, as we read through each of these, we continue to see further build out of broadband across South Dakota. That is a tremendous goal that we've got, and happy to see the companies working towards that. Appreciate CenturyLink's additional information so that we can kind of quantify exactly how much build-out has been and is proposed to be done this year. We'll definitely look forward to the complete report on March 1st regarding that build-out. Additional discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, the only announcement is the next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, September 27th, 9:30 a.m. right here. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.